Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. Welcome. This is Kevin Gianni
and Fred. Frederick.
Oh, there he is. Good. All right. Good. Making sure that we have the audio here. What's going on, my friend?
It's been a great week. I've been working on someone's book.
Who's that?
I don't know. A friend of mine who asked me to help research a little bit for his book. A lot of interesting stuff that I'm coming up with on alcohol, actually. So, the immemorial question is it good for us? Is it bad for us? Or is it good in small doses? What is a small dose? What is a moderate dose? What is too much? That kind of stuff, you know. So that's kind of what's been new. I'm drinking a lot of tea. We could talk about that or
I thought you were going to say I'm actually drinking a lot of alcohol now.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Fred's had a couple glasses of Sardinian wine before this this program.
Exactly. Well, actually, I ordered I was doing some research on, you know, the wine that they're drinking in Sardinia in that, you know, essentially that the wine that's making them live so long. Apparently. Okay. Or it's not. It's called Cano, and I ordered it. So I have two bottles of this wine. It's been registered as the highest in antioxidants. So haven't tried it. I need a good occasion for that. But it's the wine. I'll let you know maybe in a future program if it if it's the cure for all diseases.
Well, I mean, I would think that if it's a healthy wine, then it would be good all the time, right?
Yeah, well, what's been interesting in researching this topic is that there seems to be like a disconnect between like the media stories and the actual science. What is your perception of the media's message on alcohol? Or does it change from, is it different? Maybe it's different here where I live in Montreal and Quebec, where, you know, the government is actually making a lot of money selling alcohol, or maybe in the US it's got, you know, people have different attitudes. So what do you think, Kevin, is the general kind of the storyline that's being told in the media about wine and beer? And
yeah, for me, I think at least in the US, the media is always sensationalist, so any type of extreme is probably going to be the one that they're going to go with. And so whether it's you can drink as much as you want, you know, or drink whiskey because it's, you know, whatever, it's good for, who knows. Someone said to me in the office the other day, they said, some alcohols are good for fertility. And I'm like, so wait a minute, is it good actually, like chemically good for fertility? Is it just the fact that you drink alcohol and you get a little more promiscuous? But, so here in the United States, and at least I'm sure across all media, they just want a sensationalist story. So I'm imagining that you know, the information and what I've read at least is, you know, it's always contradictory, and it almost seems that there are just certain times when this stuff comes out where, you know, people, you know, the media will be saying, hey, drink as much alcohol as you want, it's okay. And generally the media doesn't go to that extreme, but then, you know, there's the other side where the media, where I've seen articles where, you know, people have done studies where people who don't drink tend to die earlier from disease. And now whether drinking is the actual control, I mean, not the control, but that's actually a factor that's contributing to that, I don't know, man. I'm not in these labs doing these studies. I'm not these people. I mean, I think that you and I, Fred, could probably put together a better study than some researchers out there. And I also think that we wouldn't be paid by maybe the alcohol companies to put it together, or some other, maybe who knows what other kind of group would be against alcohol. So anyway, that's kind of my thought on it.
Well, the research seems to be kind of pretty straightforward in the sense that all studies have found that a moderate consumption of alcohol, whether it's wine, beer, or spirits, it doesn't really matter, but it kind of slightly cuts death rates in many, you know, in China, they've done a study, the Harvard Medical School did a study. Actually, this study is not completely finished now, but it's been following men between the ages of 40 and 84, and the people drink, the men drinking a small amount of alcohol lived longer and suffered fewer cancers, heart disease, and so on. But the amount that they're drinking is actually pretty small. You know, it's something like, you know, no more than like 2 drinks a day.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. But in other studies, it's more like if you go above a certain amount, it's the opposite that happens. So in all the studies, actually. And for women, it seems that the margin is very small, actually. Even in women drinking like 3 to 9 drinks a week, they were more likely to develop breast cancers. The margin is pretty small, like a few drinks a week. But we can talk about what I think about it from doing this research for the book, which we're not going to talk about. What is this mysterious book? But
why don't we do that too? The one question that I always have, though, so before we get into that, I want to know, is it 2 drinks for what? It's just like the 8 ounce glasses of water a day recommendation, that blanket recommendation. It doesn't make sense. If Anne-Marie, my wife, as you guys know, she's 120 some odd pounds, right? She's very thin. If she drinks 8 8-ounce glasses of water, she's swimming. And if I drink 8 8-ounces of glasses of water, I'm almost 200 pounds. You know, what does that look like for me? It just, in terms of just our body volume, it doesn't make sense. So I always joke, you know, if I have a glass of wine or 2 glasses of wine and Anne-Marie has one, who are the studies looking at? Are they looking at my 2 glasses of wine for my body size, or are they looking at 1 glass of wine for Anne-Marie's body size, which is almost equivalent?
Yeah, I get you. And I have some thoughts on that, because, you know, what is good about alcohol, we can talk about it, but mainly what we're concerned about is what could be bad, you know? Yeah. So, you know, alcohol is a type of sugar, and it's super rich in calories. It's methanol, so it's 224 calories per ounce. You know, this is more than white sugar, but we don't drink pure methanol. We drink it diluted. I mean, you know, wine has alcohol in it, but it's not the only thing that it contains. So the body breaks it down, right? It uses it as a source of energy. But as a byproduct of this metabolism, there's this substance that is formed called acetaldehyde. And this is, you know, this is a thing that is turned later into another substance called acetate. And then it's, you know, eliminated from the body, that substance. But in the meantime, when there's this acetaldehyde builds up in the body, that's when people feel sick, you know, and that could be the reason why there's some studies that show additional cancers in more cancer rates in some populations drinking, you know, too much, or some women for breast cancer and so on. Maybe it's the substance. It's a byproduct of metabolism of alcohol. But the bottom line is, you know, if you drink too much, it builds up in the body, and that's when it's bad. But you talked about body size, and that's what I'm learning is, I mean, we all know that, you know, if you drink on an empty stomach, that's, you know, it kind of goes straight to your brain. And that's true, actually, because the way alcohol is metabolized has to do with dilution. So food dilutes alcohol, you know, so it's absorbed in a slower kind of time frame. And if you drink beer instead of drinking whiskey, it's also going to be absorbed slower, you know, so because it's more diluted. So it depends what you drink. It depends how big you are, how much food you've had, and so on. But I think the bottom line is we don't want that alcohol to be metabolized very quickly. If you're going to drinking spirits is probably a bad idea because it's so concentrated, you know, but drinking like a glass of wine along with some food is definitely not going to be a problem for most people. And the limit seems to be, you know, for sure 2 to 4 drinks a week. I mean, there's definitely no issues for health for anybody. But again, could it be more? Probably for men, more than this, you know, but probably not drinking every day would be good either. And women, I think they have to be careful. You know, like a few drinks a week seems to be fine. The research kind of shows that, you know, there are benefits to drinking, but my big question is, I mean, are we going to start drinking because of those benefits, right? Because people want, you know, want an excuse to drink or want a reason to drink, but I don't think there's any compelling health reason to start drinking.
Yeah.
It's more okay, we know all the social aspects of drinking, having an occasional drink, relaxation, you know, have fun amongst friends. And then if it's not so bad for you, it could actually be a little good for you. Then that's something most people would like to be able to enjoy, you know, a few times a week or a few times a month, whatever. And that seems to be fine, you know. But why is it that we find that there's this research that shows that drinking some alcohol is like reducing death rates? It could be for many reasons. You know, Dr. Furman says it's because alcohol is actually a blood thinning substance. So people are less likely to die of a heart attack because of that. But it's like a medicine. So if you're eating a healthy diet, he says that you're probably not getting any benefits from the alcohol, because like the benefits of alcohol, according to him and many other people, or when you have a crappy diet. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like people taking like a baby aspirin every day to prevent heart disease. So it's kind of like that. It could be kind of like that.
You wouldn't switch out your kale smoothie with a couple glasses of wine, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
I get it. I mean, it's one of those things where this science is for people who this is almost a little bit of justification for people who want to continue doing what they're doing. I mean, that's kind of what it is. Like, who wants to be told that they can't, if you like to have a glass of wine, you know, who wants to be told that you have to stop doing it? It's just like in a regular, you know, healthy diet. I mean, if you have one little fix that you need to get every day, maybe it's your chocolate, maybe it's your cake, maybe it's your donut, or maybe it's your, you know, whatever. And in the largest scheme of things, if you have, you know, a small bit of that one thing on a regular basis, your health will still be fine. And I think we can look to the Blue Zones where, you know, Frederick and I, we really kind of spent a lot of time looking at the Blue Zones, where you look at everyone's diet. These are some of the longest lived, let me back up a little bit. These are some of the longest lived people that exist in the world today. When you go back and you look at their diets, a lot of the foods are ridiculously different. I mean, ridiculously different. Some of them drink coffee. Some of them eat rice and beans. Some of them eat more of a Mediterranean type diet. Some of them eat a lot of dairy products. Some of them don't eat any dairy products. So you look at this and your mind is instantly blown by the fact that none of them eat the same thing. And look, none of them eat quinoa. You know, and these are, you know, we're talking about, you know, quinoa, which is a modern day health food, and everyone's speaking, you know, volumes to it, and none of these long-lived cultures eat it. Now, does that mean that quinoa is a bad food for you? Absolutely not. But it just means that when we look at these things, we have to look beyond the food. And so in this case, or we need to look at some of the things internally and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, maybe some of the foods that these people are eating are really healthy. And so, for instance, like the Sardinian wine, which I kind of want to know a little bit more about, Fred, because it is kind of interesting. What's so different about this type of wine? Is it just the antioxidants?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, that's...
lower alcohol content than California wine, though, right?
Yeah, well, probably not, actually. I can give you the alcohol content, but generally, I mean, if you wines that come from warm regions have more alcohol than wines that come from colder regions. Mm. It's pretty simple, because there's grapes growing in warmer areas have more sugar in them, and then more sugar means more sugar is turned into alcohol. So, you know, that's why we find that Australian wines, I mean, are clocking like 15-16% alcohol, and then you have like a champagne wine, it's maybe 11% alcohol or 12%. You know, and a white wine from Germany might be 9 or 10% alcohol. So it's, you know, the colder the climate, the less alcohol there's going to be. But so I don't think it's the alcohol necessarily. They say it's the antioxidants. I think, you know, you can probably get these antioxidants from eating fruits and vegetables, you know. Yeah. But again, it's if you don't consume a great diet and then you take in this kind of wine on a regular basis, it might be really good for you, because, you know, that's your source of antioxidants. But if you like consume like a head of kale every day, I don't think you should really be looking into what kind of wine specifically to drink to optimize your health. You know, I mean, drink whatever you want, you know, in moderation. But I understand, though, the power of seduction of something new or something that's supposed to be the best in the world. You know, we want that, right?
I do. I also like the idea of not necessarily alcohol, but finding some sort of stress relief kind of tool. And you know, you don't want to lean on a crutch like alcohol is for stress relief. But a lot of people that I talk to, and when they tell me about, you know, their drinking habits, is they'll come home, they'll relax a little bit, maybe they'll put the kids to bed, and then they'll have a glass of wine. And it's a total, you know, decompress kind of experience. And you know, again, to each their own in terms of what you want to do in terms of your health. But I totally agree with Fred that if you don't drink, don't start. You know, who knows if you have the alcoholism gene. You know, that's something that's very serious that kind of is on the complete other side of this issue. And if you do drink, you know, enjoy it responsibly and maybe have a couple glasses of wine. Laughter is an incredible medicine. So if you're with great friends and you're eating great farm-to-table, delicious, real food, you know, you can indulge a little bit and hopefully, you know, you don't overdo it. And hopefully we're right. Otherwise, you know, we're giving you all the wrong information and don't come back to us later and say, it didn't work.
Well, I think alcohol is just not a health food. I mean, it shouldn't be in the category of health food that people should consume more of. Yes. But again, but it's something, you know, it's not like...
Unless they want to become more fertile.
Exactly.
But no, fertile is the wrong word because alcohol is actually linked to infertility. But unless they want to become more promiscuous.
You know, a little wine, I mean, beer and so on can be great, you know, and it's a social context, right? I mean, it is a medicine. So, you know, it's got some side effects, but it's got some positive effects as well, in the sense that if you take a little bit of it, who knows, it might prevent you from dying of a heart attack. But again, if you're on a really good diet, that's not the reason to do it.
Amen to that. There's my mother actually forwarded me an email from the British pub signs. This was just yesterday, so this is actually working pretty well. And here's one. This is what one of them says. So imagine walking past a pub and seeing this on a sign. It says, "I distrust camels and anyone else who can go a week without a drink." Here's another one. This is for a bar called Delirium, and it says, "The Craftsman," and it says, "The Perfect Martini." And it says, "Step one, pour gin, vermouth, and olives into the trash where they belong. And number two, drink whiskey. Bar is open."
Well, there's also, you know, kind of a quote that I like is, "One martini is perfect, two is too many, and three are not enough."
Amen to that. Hey, you know what? You know what we didn't do, Fred? Is we didn't even like tell everyone what the context of the show. We started up and just started talking about alcohol, which I think is cool because it's a little bit interesting diversion from what you and I normally talk about in a space like this. We do talk about it on the blog, but so let me give everyone a little bit of a taste of what's happening here. This is Renegade Health Radio. We are here for you guys to you know, provide information and provide, you know, hopefully interesting discussions about topics just like this. We'll probably bring some guests on. We're gonna kind of see how it goes over time. But for now, we're going to go through some of the things that we want to talk about and we think are valuable for you guys to know. And we'll be doing it weekly. And weekly will be enough for now. It won't be like the Renegade Health Show where I'm coming on every single day for 4 years? Oh my gosh, that was a lot of work, and it was a labor of love, and you know, you do get a little burnt out. But we're going to be doing this as we go along. Additionally, what we're talking about in terms of the book is I did get a Hay House book deal, you know, so a book deal that will it's like, you know, the first draft is due in August or something like that, and Fred is gonna help do some of the research for that book, and so I'm excited about that too. And as you can tell, he's good. He knows what he's talking about. So that should be a lot of fun. So that's a little bit of a context of what we're doing here. Fred, what do you have anything else to add to that?
Well, we want this to be a Friday show, right? So Friday, you know, is a day where, you know, your week is behind you and you can, you know, relax and listen to some great information, but not be too serious. So we won't be too serious, right? You know, there's probably going to be a lot of shows where we're just going to talk a lot of nonsense. And we want to warn you.
Yeah, we do want to warn you up front. I think what another way we can kind of classify this is that we Fred and I are just tired of the stiff, regular health information. You know, as you can tell, we have personality. We like to have fun. And we're just tired of the, you know, the guru just standing up on the soapbox, just saying, you can't eat this. You have to eat this. You need to take three of these. You need to spin around in circles and tap your crystal and do all these sorts of things. We're done with that. It's over. And Renegade Health, obviously Renegade, right? We're a little bit of Renegade here. And Renegade Health is just, Renegade Health Radio is this way for us to just let the heck loose, you know, just kind of say, hey, you know, we're here. We're here for you. And we want to blow off some steam too and give some great information along the way.
Who knows where this is going to go?
Yeah, who knows? we're going on a path with machetes here. It is rough ahead, and we'll see what happens. Let me read one of these before we go. Another one of these, because this one's funny. This is another pub sign. It says, come in and meet your future ex-wife. I think before we turn everyone off, we should probably close out on this one and chalk this up as the first episode as a new way to get some information to you and actually a new way for me to get back and, you know, back to you guys, because again, you know, I've been writing less and less and have been, you know, working with the skincare business and all that sort of stuff. So it actually feels really good to be here and actually, you know, have a public voice again. You know, do you think it's all right, Fred? Do you think
yeah, definitely. I mean, we want you to be, you know, to be present, part of Renegade Health. And I think people miss you, miss your voice, and they miss your love.
My love.
But really, I think it's going to be great. And we don't know how long the shows are going to be. Like, you know, maybe you guys want a longer show for a longer drive. Who knows? You know, let us know. I mean, this is like I told Kevin, I said the first show is going to be the worst. So, and then we're going to learn.
I don't think this one was that bad.
Yeah. I hope so.
Well, let us know on the blog. Let me close out with one more of these pub signs because I just love them. So this is the last one. I think this is fitting for Renegade Health too. It says alcohol with an exclamation point, because no great story started with someone eating a salad. Adios, guys.
Adios.
Renegade Health Radio.